We thank you for your word, and we pray that you would just open our understanding today, Lord. And we pray over this season, Lord, over these weeks that you do a new stirring in every one of our hearts regarding the story of grace in each life, Lord, and what you want to do not only for us, but for so many other people. Amen.
Thank you. Praise God. Good morning, church. Praise God. Well, this morning I'm going to speak on Luke 19, and it's the story of Zacharias. And it begins, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." Now, Jericho is a place, it's the battleground of sin. It's always an opposition and plays on your sin's temptations. But if you can defeat it, if you can find a way through, the promises of God are there. And it says in verse 2, "And behold, there was a man named Zacharias, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." And the publicans back then, it meant tax collectors. So he was the supreme tax collector. And I remember reading that at the time and thinking, it's a job, you know. And yet the gospel said like that, you know, he was a sinner, and all the commentary said he was a sinner. And I thought, sure, somebody has to collect the taxes, you know. Like, why persecute him? But Zacharias itself, I thought maybe it's in the name, but his name comes from a root word in Hebrew, meaning which is zakah, which means to be pure, innocent, and transparent. Well, when you find out what Zacharias was doing, he was far from it. Because you see, to be a tax collector in the Roman times, the Romans themselves would put out a call for tax collectors, and especially the chief tax collectors. And it wasn't a position in the office. What the tax collector had to do was, for that region, they had to come to the Roman Empire and they paid all the due taxes for the following year to the Roman Empire. But what they were given was a license to go around and then recoup their money from the people. And they would collect the taxes, and they were also given military backup to do so. And they were given free license to charge extra so that they could recoup their money and that they could become rich. And it says there that he was rich. So by implication, Zechariah himself was a thief, but he wasn't just a thief. He was the king of the thieves in Jericho. This is the place that was really full of sin and was the battleground for it. And he piled it on because he charged more and more. He had the best place and he was hated throughout. So the tax collectors, though, in the Talmud, which is that piece of scripture that talks about all the Levitical law and stuff like that, they put tax collectors in the same bracket as they put prostitutes, as they put thieves. They weren't allowed into the temple. So once you took up that position, you weren't allowed anywhere near the presence of God. You couldn't make your sacrifices. So by all respects, Zacharias was an outcast. Socially, spiritually, he was on the edge. In Luke 19:3, it says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for to press, because he was of little stature." What this scripture is telling us here is that Zacharias himself really wanted to see Jesus. You see, you can live in the world. You can have a great career. You can make your money. You can be really successful. But without Jesus, there is an emptiness that's deep inside. There's something that just doesn't add up. Because we were called to bear his image and to bear his presence. We are made after his image and his likeness. And without the Holy Spirit inside of us, we're going nowhere. And that's why we even see with all the stuff that's going on in Iran, we see the political structures that are falling around. These are people that have made it to the very top of their ranks, and there's something in them that's very unfulfilled. There's something in them that still wants more and more. But it's not more things, it's more of Jesus. They're just looking for the wrong thing, the wrong person. Rather than looking for more money, they should be looking for Jesus. And more of them. Zacharias came early that day, so he did, because he beat the crowds and he was prepared. But what it says there is that he could not see because for the press. And what that word actually means is for the crowd. But it isn't just an ordinary crowd. It's a riotous crowd. It's a crowd that came violently because they all wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to follow him. And Zacharias, being of small stature, and that word small stature there doesn't just mean that he was physically small. It can mean that he was spiritually small as well. And I'd say the fact that he was hated, he wasn't just nudged because of crowd control. He was probably nudged because he probably took too much money off them. So I'd say there was an odd kick and a punch that was given to him. So what did he do, if you like? Zacharias there, it says in verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. In other words, he didn't know what to do, but he knew where Jesus was going. Even people in the world that aren't Christian, they know the Christian way. They know people that offer and give sacrifice and look after the poor and feed the hungry and look after the needy. There's a trademark, if you like, on the way that Jesus walks. He knew where Jesus was, so he climbs up onto a sycamore tree. But that sycamore tree was full of fig leaves. And who does it remind us of? He climbs up onto this tree where his whole presence is obscured by fig leaves, just as Adam and Eve were. He climbs and hangs on the tree. And anybody that hangs on the tree, we're told in Deuteronomy, was a cursed thing. We're told in Galatians, when Paul writes to the Galatians, Christ redeems us for the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. You see, Zacharias's image of him climbing up and hanging out on this tree and obscuring himself in the fig leaves just to get a glimpse of Jesus was a picture type of us when we try and by our own works, we go onto the cross that only Jesus could bear. It wasn't meant for him. It wasn't by his works. It wasn't by his efforts that he was going to be made righteous to come into the presence of Jesus. It was only by the grace of God. But he stands up there and he takes a look. And this is where the story changes. Because in Luke 19:5, it said, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said to him, Zacharias, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. You see, this is the point in which the story changes. Because we can often go around and be thinking all the stuff we have to do to call onto the presence of God, to come into his presence. All of our efforts, all of our self-righteousness, our self-condemnation, that's where Zacharias was. But the power of Zacharias's redemption and transformation is not in his efforts and his calling. It's in the power of Jesus the Savior who was searching for his lost sheep. Because it is Jesus, when he passes by, looks up and sees the one that he is looking for and says, make haste, in other words, hurry. Come down out of your self-condemnation. Come down out of your self-works. And come, he said, I must abide in thy house. Praise God. And I love that. I must. Jesus said that to the woman at the well. He said, I must depart from where I'm going to visit this woman. He must stay in Zacharias's house. And I find it interesting to see that Zacharias's house was where he chose to meet him. That place where all the fruits of his sin were, because he had the best house. He had the finest, if you like, china or whatever they had back then, if you like, for eating off. He had all of his servants, all paid for by his sin. So he didn't ask to meet him in the synagogue. He didn't ask to meet him in a nice, quiet place. He met him right in the heart of his sin, where he was. And Zacharias made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Praise God. And when they saw it, this is speaking of the crowd, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest at the man that is a sinner. Because here, the tabernacle of meeting that was in the flesh, that is Jesus Christ, that he was forbidden to ever go for, instead of staying put and waiting for Zacharias to be good enough to meet him in his tabernacle, the tabernacle came down from heaven and met him right where his sin nature was at. Praise God. And in verse 8, and Zacharias stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything that any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. And I thought, wow, what the presence of God does to you to change your nature. But then I was thinking, why did he pick those numbers out? And it's just go to show what the presence of God actually does in your life when you're struggling with something and when you're repenting. If you don't look on your own works and your own efforts, but you just focus on having a true divine relationship with Jesus, how powerful that is in changing your very nature. Because in Leviticus, if a man had stolen from another and realized it voluntarily, then they had to pay what they owed back plus a small offering that was there. So he only had to pay back 100-fold. But what he said there is he said unto the Lord, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from a man and false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. So he only had to give back under the law, if you like, the 100-fold that he took. But instead, he was going to give 200-fold, if you like, to the poor, twice as much. And then what it says is in Exodus, if a man is found to be have taken something from his neighbour, be it axe or ox or calf or anything like that, they had to repair twice as much back. And what does Zechariah do? He was going to restore any accusation that came against him that he didn't know of, that he didn't come forward with. He was going to pay it back fourfold. And that just goes to show that the law is such a low standard for us to hit, that if the presence of God is truly in us, then we live so far higher above the law. It is so much more to have the love of God operating through us than a simple compliance to the Levitical law. And in Luke verse 9 it said, And Jesus said unto him, This day a salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. You see, it's not about us trying to reach Jesus. And the reason I'm saying this is the message for when we're in our evangelism month. If you like, don't focus on other people's ability to reach Jesus. No, Jesus came from the cross and he lives inside of you. So you go out and go after those which are lost. What happened to Zacharias afterwards? And I often wondered, you have an encounter with this. Well, actually, what the traditions, if you like, and the history books have told us is that after Jesus died, Zacharias is believed to have continued his transformation and become a significant figure in the early Christian church. And according to the early church tradition, he became the first bishop of Caesarea and the Palestines. Praise God. So he led so many to Christ afterwards. And what is the power of his transformation? And I think it's lovely captured in some of the words that you hear in some of the old gospel songs. And that is, one night with the King changes everything. Praise God.
We hope you've been encouraged and uplifted by what we've shared. If today's message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us or join us in person at Castlebar Christian Fellowship. You're always welcome here. Be sure to follow us for more sermons, devotionals, and updates. Until next time, stay strong in faith, love one another, and keep your eyes on Jesus. God bless and see you soon.